قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Our condolences to all the believers all across the world, wherever you are, upon the martyrdom of the third divinely appointed Imam, Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. In order to talk about the mission and the martyrdom of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Muzaffar Haider from the United Kingdom to speak to us about the sacrifice and the mission of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Let's go ahead and welcome him to the talk show. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
So Sheikh Muzaffar, of course, you know, we have passed the first 10 days of Muharram. We have witnessed that there have been countless commemoration and mourning ceremonies for Aba Abdullah, Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Of course, with the COVID episode kind of, you know, becoming a little bit less, we've seen that more gatherings took place this year as compared to previous years
across the world.
One of the interesting things that we saw in the previous years was this engagement in social media. A lot of people had to watch a lot of these majalis and these speeches and sermons online. But this year, a lot of them happened live. So kind of, we want to talk a little bit about that, is the relevance of social media in the movement of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and especially more so in the present day, in the name of Allah.
Yeah, so social media is obviously cyberspace itself is incredibly important. Imam Khamenei has been emphasizing on the soft war for tens of, you know, decades.
Yes.
If I'm right to say decades.
Yes.
At the very least we can say years. And now he's talking about jihad al-tabi'in, which is almost like a level up from that. It's the idea of fighting for the minds of the masses. And a huge part of that ideological battle is to spread the message and the movement of Imam Husayn alayhi salam.
Right.
And when it comes to spreading the message of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, I think one of the points that I do want to emphasize here is that, look, it's not just about sharing a quote or a picture and then it getting lots and lots of views,
right?
Or likes or shares or comments. That's fine, that's great. But you see, when it comes to media, this is something that we talk about in-house among the Islamic Pulse team as well. We say that there's two forms of media. There's comfortable media and challenging media.
Sure.
So what's the difference between the two? Comfortable media, to put it simply, is media which puts the audience in their comfort zone.
Right.
Right. So it's media that you can just consume while you switch your brain off. So examples of comfortable media in the secular world would be, for example, cooking videos or memes or prank videos. You can watch those for ages and ages and ages, waste a whole load of time, but it hasn't actually impacted you in a way that's going to create a change in yourself or in society.
It almost makes you like a zombie.
It's not going to make any, it's just comfortable, right?
Right, right.
And then challenging media is the opposite. It actually forces you to switch on your brain and think critically. So, for example, news, for example, debate shows, for example, talk shows. You're watching them, the viewers who are watching it right now, you're not exactly watching this purely for the sake of entertainment.
Sure.
You guys are out there are actually watching this because you want your perspective perhaps to change. You want to learn something new.
Yeah, you're
this
trying
is challenging media, right? Challenging media is going to actively try to challenge the way that you think. It's challenging your ideologies, it's challenging the thoughts and opinions that you have. Okay, so let's bring these two modes of media to the realm of the movement of Imam Husayn alayhi salam.
Right. Comfortable media versus challenging media.
Okay, so when it comes to presenting Imam Husayn alayhi salam out there, you're also going to have these two approaches.
Yes.
The comfortable approach is going to say, for example, it's going to go into a society, you'll go to, for example, India, you'll find a figure who they already admire and love, like Gandhi, and you'll say, do you love Gandhi?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They say yes.
Hussein is just like Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll give them Hussein and they'll accept it. Okay? You'll go to America, they revere somebody like Martin Luther King. Right?
Sure.
You'll say, you like Martin Luther King? Here's Hussein.
Mm.
Right?
He's you'll go just to, like Martin Luther King.
You go to South Africa, you'll say,
yeah,
you
Nelson
like Nelson Mandela?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is effective to an extent, but it's a comfortable approach.
Right.
And all you've essentially done is gone to groups of people out there who already have a list of heroes and civil rights leaders in their heads, and they've added Hussein alayhi salam to the list.
Sure.
It's actually made not that much difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't inspired this person to make a change in society. Okay, that's the comfortable approach. When it comes to the challenging approach, this is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
This is presenting Imam Hussein alayhi salam as the beacon of resistance. That's what it's really about. The beacon, the single beacon of resistance. The symbol of sacrificing everything for the sake of justice.
Yes.
Okay. And when you have a figure like Imam Hussein alayhi salam in your heart and it's been presented to you properly, all these other so-called heroes, right, like Nelson Mandela and, I don't know, like Martin Luther King, Gandhi, all these types of civil rights leaders, etc., will just be knocked out the box.
Sure.
Because the love of Hussein alayhi salam requires so much space, and it's such a big love that we have, that the others just cease to exist. It's like the sun coming out, and the stars just become invisible because of its brightness. Okay, this is the reality behind what we're facing. So
the difference
between comfortable media and challenging media. One of the differences is this: comfortable media will apparently look more popular.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Comfortable media will apparently look more.
It will apparently look more comfortable because
if
you share a quote. The usual quotes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that are often shared out there. For example, if you don't believe in God or the hereafter, at least believe in living free.
Sure.
You know, and it's quoted like that, and it's shared out there. Christians are going to like it. Non-Muslim, secular type, Western influenced people will like it.
Yes.
You know, and it's going to give off the. As if it is incredibly popular. Well, it hasn't really challenged the way that people think.
Right.
Therefore, it is naturally going to accumulate lots of likes and lots of shares and lots of comments.
Because it's easily consumable.
It's comfortable.
They looked at it, they read it, they liked it, and that's it. They forgot about it.
Right. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his stand, let's not forget, it was for Nahi anil Munkar. It was for the forbidding of evil. He stood, he rose for the sake of Islam itself.
Yes.
Right? So this is really going to be, when you present it in this way, it's going to look less popular because less people are going to be liking it. But the impact that you will have with it is going to be so profound that you're actually going to change people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to inspire people to go out and confront the tyrants of their own vicinities.
Yes.
And that's what we really want to do. This is the reality of the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
It's really interesting. So while you were speaking, I kind of felt like even this stance of Imam Hussein, the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it in itself was a challenging media. It wasn't a comfortable media.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's very interesting. So, for example, if you look at some of the key historical characters at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they actually told him to go for comfortable media.
Mm-hmm.
They said, listen, don't cause a hubbub, don't stand in the face of Yazid. You know, his resources are great, his power has accumulated, he has forces, So just do the regular prayers and, fasting and stick to that. Don't do this challenging media of trying to awaken the masses against the oppressive and un-Islamic. Well, if you want to comment, I think it's interesting.
I think we need to first backtrack. I don't know if you talked about this in previous talk shows or not, but you referred to the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as a form of media.
Right.
And I think that would be a new concept for a lot of the viewers out there.
Sure.
Well, we have to recognize that what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did in Karbala was a very visual act. It was something which everybody could see. Right. And to this day, all the artwork and poetry and all the emotive kind of the visualization of Karbala.
Sure.
There's these beautiful videos that you can find online where you can actually see it. The Mukhtar narrative, which every Muharram I end up watching over and over again. But anyway, it's visual. You know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he could have gone into a room or into a place which is not crowded and been poisoned, right? He could have been killed in a way that is not visual, that wouldn't have been seen, that wouldn't have created such a huge commotion and chaos.
Right.
Every part of Karbala, whether it's them standing to do prayers when arrows are flying towards them, or whether it is him holding up Ali Asghar, or whether it is Abbas alayhi salam coming back from the river holding that. And then the very striking visual of his arms being cut. And then let's not forget the ladies of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, those holy ladies being paraded in the streets of Kufa, of Sham. You know, it is all just so visual.
Yes.
It was definitely a media, and it was definitely a move to awaken the masses.
And it has for thousands of years.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It was challenging in every way.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I would even go to say that all of the imams, they had this stance of challenging media. They did not have the stance of comfortable media. So, for example, one of the things that is very easily thrown out there is that, you know, the sixth divinely appointed imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, comfortable media, meaning teaching, even though it was 4,000 students, so, you know, teaching students, sticking to the books. But in reality, if you look at the conditions of the time and the era in which he lived, this teaching of 4,000 students was a really great challenging media.
Mm-hmm.
It was challenging the status quo that, for example, the scholars of the governmental establishment were trying to put forth.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an individual who's putting forth a totally different narrative. It's very challenging media.
Yeah. And you can also look at Imam Ridha alayhi salam and his political role with the tyrants of his time. All the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam did, they did engage in things, in actions which made clear to the masses what the realities are. And it goes back to the concept of jihad al-tab'een.
Sure.
This jihad, this struggling, this striving to make clear to people the realities. If you, for example, protest, if you send out a message, if you are in the masses and you're protesting on the streets and stuff, that's one thing, and that's great, and it's visual as well. But one person doing a hunger strike for a certain cause, suddenly everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
One person being arrested for the cause, so a person being shaheed for the cause, which is the pinnacle of faith and the pinnacle of what we can accomplish in this dunya, you know, that has a striking effect.
Impact,
a huge impact on the target audience. But I just want to quickly say that, look, comfortable media and challenging media are both necessary.
They're both necessary.
It's not that one is good and one is bad. No, we need both of them, okay?
Right.
One of them, comfortable media, retains the audience. And the other one, challenging media, it activates the audience. And that's what we really need to do. The world is full of too many sleeping giants at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
People whose hearts are full of the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but when it comes to acting upon that love, when it comes to rising up against the Yazid of today, the Shimr of today, that's when they fall short. What challenging media needs to do now is take those people to the next level and really just activate them, so that they can walk on the footsteps of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, I want to ask one more question before we end the talk show. So I was watching one of your speeches, and you had spoken about this ideological sword that every single Muslim should have.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very powerful, you know. Many times we kind of keep on emphasizing the physical sword, which fine, in its own place, it has its own place. But this concept of the ideological sword, ideological strength, ideological power, if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think that is something that's very important. And sometimes what one cannot achieve through the physical sword is achieved through the ideological sword, and kind of how this fits in with Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. You know, it was this kind of this ideological sword, because the physical sword did not win, right? We saw they were all, you know, they were all massacred, and so the physical sword did not win, but the ideological sword won in such a manner that even after over 1,000 years, this movement, this ideology, this concept of Imam Hussein and his mission is so very much alive, if you'd like to.
Yeah, so first of all, let's look at the concept of the sword in the religion of Islam, right? So the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, our Holy Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, he said in a hadith that you can find in some of our most authentic sources, he said, Al-khayru kulluhu fi al-sayf, wa tahta dhill al-sayf, wa la yaqumu al-nas illa al-sayf. He said, goodness, all of goodness is in the sword and under the shade of the sword. And nothing makes mankind rise except the sword. Okay, so the first point that we have to say about this is that our dear audiences out there need to not shy away from such concepts. The right. West has actively taught us to be shy of our religion, to be scared, and to always be on the back foot. Somehow we always end up trying to prove that our religion is a religion of peace. And I'd like to say very simply and very clearly, our religion is not a religion of peace, nor is it a religion of war. It's a religion which has given us a mission, and that mission is to spread Islam and monotheism and the rulership of one divinely appointed imam across the globe. That's what our religion, in a nutshell, is. In order to accomplish that, we are going to face backlash. People are going to try to attack us. They're going to try to defame us. They're going to try and kill us.
They're
going
to try to kill us.
When that happens, we as Muslims, particularly we as those who are lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam, and lovers of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, need to be prepared to draw the sword
and defend
fight
ourselves.
Back. We need to defend ourselves. We need to fight back. Right? Nobody has the right to lay a finger on us. We're Muslims. Nobody has the right to imprison us. We are Muslims. Nobody has the right to attack us in any way. If anybody has the right to do that, it's the Imam of the time and the scholars of Islam, because are ruling through the rules of Islam, the fiqh of Islam. They're the only ones who have a right over us. Nobody else does. These fake so-called governments, these fake so-called authorities, okay? The sword is our symbol. You know, even if you are a lover of Imam Ali alayhi salam, everybody knows, la fatah illa Ali, la sayfa illa dhul fiqar. There is no youth or, you know, that young soldier like Ali. There is no sword like dhul fiqar. So we have to recognize that almost like the samurai culture, we also have a culture of the sword. We're supposed to have a sword to prepare for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Now, when it comes to the times in which we're living in today, the wali faqih of our time, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is the one who's setting the priorities.
Sure.
Right? And it's become very clear and evident that on the military front, we are pretty much okay. Right? When it came to Sayyidah Zainab's shrine being attacked by ISIS, there were lines and lines of hundreds of thousands of Iranian youths and other youths from across the world, revolutionaries, who were lining up to go and defend. And we defeated them, alhamdulillah. True. Where are we falling short? We're falling short on the soft war. We're falling short on the area where the minds of the masses are at stake.
Sure.
Okay, and that, we don't really need to present many arguments to prove that. You just go online, you can see it. You go to your children's schools in the West, you can see it.
Yeah.
You go to any kind of academics in the West or even the East, you can see it, that there is this assault on Islam, particularly on the pure Muhammadan Islam. Therefore, we need to be willing to engage in that ideological battle, and we need to be willing to draw the ideological sword in that battle. And what I often say to my dear youths out there particularly, but to everybody out there, is that look, Allah has given you a sword in your hand. What is that sword? It's your phone. It's the device that you're using right now to watch this this discussion. You know, it's those devices, those cameras that you have in your home. You have the ability right now to record something, to edit something, to put it out there for the world to see.
Yes.
You know, and that will have an impact. And there's too many people who, when it comes to the soft war, they think it's all about WhatsApp groups, you know, and so they spend a lot of time talking on WhatsApp groups, you know, or Telegram groups, or whatever other messaging apps you might have. Guys, let's say that there's 100 people on that group, you've affected 100 people. If 100 people read it, because, like, let's face it, in a group of 100 people, there's like 5 people who are active and they're actually reading everything. Otherwise, people have got lives, you know. But you do share things, and often they think that that's soft war. I'm sharing things. That's great as well. But no, we need content creators out there. People who are bold. People who can speak the truth out there, even if their voices shake. You know, you need to go and do it. Draw that ideological sword, confront the Yazid of today, and go into it with a Husseini spirit. What do I mean by a Husseini spirit? I mean, be prepared to sacrifice everything. Yes. I don't think there's been a time before Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, the people of the past could have argued that, okay, I can give up my own life, but my family's life? I shouldn't endanger my family. Imam Hussein endangered his family for the sake of the cause. There was a time in the past where we could have said, well, I can endanger my own life, but not my wife, not my kids, not my child, my child who is a suckling baby. I can't endanger that. Imam Hussein basically showed us the path of sacrificing everything in the way of establishing haq and facing batil.
Sheikh Muzaffar, I think that's a very powerful place to end the talk show. Inshallah, we will invite you to another one soon. May Allah bless you and accept all of your mourning and commemoration of the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and thank you for joining us on the talk show. Dear viewers, Jazakallah khair wa afiyah, inshallah, until another episode where we will continue to talk about these blessed months of Muharram and Safar and the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Until another talk show, that's all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.